Man kann sein Glück aussehen, es hegen und pflegen, langsam wachsen sehen, darauf warten.
Oder man reißt es einfach auf.
Die Lose zum Aufreißen von Lotto Bayern. Das Bayernlos, das Bayernglück, das Extragehalt oder das Megagehalt. Reiß dein Glück auf. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Infos unter biök.de.
Man kann sein Glück aussehen, es hegen und pflegen, langsam wachsen sehen, darauf warten.
Oder man reißt es einfach auf.
Die Lose zum Aufreißen von Lotto Bayern. Das Bayernlos, das Bayernglück, das Extragehalt oder das Megagehalt. Reiß dein Glück auf. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Infos unter biök.de.
Your job is to sell, 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 said my new supervisor, leading me across the showroom floor. Think you can handle that? He turned around and looked at my plastic name tag. Danny? I gave a thumbs up. Good, he snapped, then continued walking. We were on the ground floor, sandwiched between two long rows of beds. It was only 9:20 a.m, but the store was already a beehive of activity. He spoke over his shoulder as I followed him up a metal stairway, one step behind. Sell as many mattresses as you can. That's where the profits are. If the customer, chirp, isn't biting, offer discounts. If that doesn't work, throw in some new sheets or an extra pillow. Chirp. I wanted to say something about the weird chirp sound he kept making, but I held my tongue. We reached the first floor, where the mattresses lay stacked on top of one another like playing cards. There are no breaks. You get 45 minutes for lunch. Be back on time. Chirp. Don't call in sick. Don't screw around. Don't say anything rude in front of a customer. And remember, your bonus depends on how many mattresses you sell. Nothing else counts. He paused. Am I going too fast for you? Nope. I got it, I said confidently. The storeroom is through there. He gestured towards a set of double doors marked warehouse, staff only beyond this point. Do not go back there for any reason, ever. I catch you in there, you're gone. You need something from the back, come find me. Chirp, you're paid to stand out here and sell, understand? I nodded. Probation lasts 6 months. If at any point during that time you aren't hitting your sales targets, which you probably won't, you're gone. Chirp, got a problem with that? I bit my bottom lip and shook my head. Good, any questions? Nope. As he ticked a bunch of boxes on his clipboard, I couldn't help thinking he was one of the weirdest looking people I'd ever met. He was bald and pale, with bulbous eyes and narrow lips. Okay, your training is finished. Go sell some damn mattresses. With that, he pulled out a key card, held it up to a panel alongside the door, then disappeared. At the front side of the building, a wall of plate glass overlooked the parking lot. Tucked away in the far corner was my piece of crap car. If I hadn't needed the money so badly, I might have already handed over my name tag and told my asshole supervisor to shove it up his ass. On the ground floor, my new co-workers scrambled around, trying to make sales. I figured I'd best do the same. And so, not knowing anything about sales or beds, I made my way towards a couple arguing over headboards. Turns out, I was a natural. Before the end of my first week, I had already hit my monthly sales quota. The bonuses were insane. I made a commission on every mattress I sold, so I pushed the most expensive brands relentlessly. My co-workers couldn't understand how I did it. A little into my second week, as a wave goodbye to a family of four who just purchased a new set of bunk beds, a smooth voice spoke from behind. So, this is the guy? I spun around. A tall man with sharp features was standing alongside my supervisor. The guy reeked of wealth, his suit was tailored fit, and his hair perfectly groomed. He extended a hand. Pleased to meet you. My name, chirp, is Mr. Johnson. For a moment, I stood in shock. What's the matter, Danny? My supervisor snarled, gritting his teeth at me. Too much of a big shot to shake hands with the boss? I smiled and said, pleased to meet you. Then, as an afterthought, added, sir? Mr. Johnson's hand was so large it enveloped mine. Please, call me Frank. He threw a hand around my shoulder and guided me down one of the aisles. So, I hear you're quite the salesman. Pride swelled in my chest. I try my best. He laughed. Try? 1 week in and you were already, chirp, on course to be the top salesman for this entire quarter. I couldn't believe it when I saw the figures. I said, I've got to meet this wonder kid. I blushed, slightly embarrassed. How are you finding it here? Chirp, everything to your liking? It was a strange place. The warehouse staff gave me the creeps. They never spoke or laughed or did anything, besides chirp, that is. I still hadn't figured out what the hell was up with that. One time, two of them wheeled out a pallet full of mattresses for one of my orders, and I tried to start a conversation with them. They both looked at me like I just peed in their cornflakes. My co-workers were friendly enough, although we were usually all too busy trying to make sales to take much notice of each other. Yeah, I said, a slight tone of hesitation in my voice. Everything's great. The village idiot isn't giving you any problems. He subtly gestured towards my supervisor, who hovered across the way like a fly, searching for a solid landing spot on a slippery turd. Nope, I said. Good, good. Well, he gives you any problems, just remind him the salespeople are king. They're the ones who keep the lights on around here. Chirp. He turned towards me and shook my hand again. As we stood face to face, I realized Mr. Johnson was much older than I first thought. His face had that uncanny valley quality, where at a glance you think he's in his mid-30s, but upon closer inspection, you realize he's probably just got a great plastic surgeon. Keep up the good work. He winked at me and gestured towards my supervisor. A moment later, the two of them disappeared into the storeroom. The praise from Mr. Johnson was like a shot in my arm. After meeting him, I went from strength to strength. The sales bonuses rolled in. I even treated myself to a fancy new car. Soon, it was almost the end of the month. The store closed at 5 o'clock, and commission on any sales made after that wouldn't be issued until the next payroll. That was a problem. I'd had my eye on a 100-inch 4K TV and was coming up just short of the cash. I busted my ass all day, flogging as many mattresses as I could. 20 minutes before closing time, when I didn't have a second to spare, a nasally voice said, "You were 2 minutes late getting back from your lunch break yesterday." I turned to see my supervisor. "Chirp, we're not paying you to sit in the break room scratching your balls all day," he snapped. "Make sure you get back on time." As he stormed off angrily, I spotted something out of the corner of my eye. His key card. The asshole dropped it. I slipped it in my pocket swiftly. The thought of that dick frantically searching the whole building for it gave me a feeling of great satisfaction. Just then, a heavyset man wandered into view, a look of boredom frozen on his face. I raced towards him. "Excuse me, sir, can I..." He held up a hand. "No upselling. Just get me 6 memory foam mattresses, 2 king-sized, 1 queen, and 3 doubles. That 4K TV was as good as mine. I told the guy I'd meet him at the counter, then sprinted across the store, searching for all the products he'd mentioned. But I had a problem. They were all out of stock. Of all the rotten luck. I needed my supervisor to wrangle the warehouse guys and get the order brought out pronto. I searched the ground floor. No sign of him. I covered the first floor, the bathroom and break room. Still nothing. Where was that asshole? All of a sudden, I had an idea. I still had his key card. I'd no doubt feel his righteous wrath for setting foot in the forbidden warehouse, but I'd also have a fat payslip to help soften the blow. I rushed towards the double doors, where I held his card against the wall panel. A red light blinked green. Then, the door opened. A short hallway led me to the main warehouse, where rows of shelving units stretched towards the ceiling. I checked my watch. 10 minutes until closing. Across the bay, a man wearing a blue jumpsuit was loading boxes onto a metal pallet, his back to me. Hey, I shouted, racing towards him. He either didn't hear me or pretended not to. When I reached the other side of the bay, I poked him on the shoulder. Hey, where do you keep the... He spun around so fast, it made me jump. Hi. He took a step forward and tilted his head to the side, eyes wide. Chirp. Look, I know I'm not supposed... Chirp. Another step. I moved backward. Hey, I need you to get me... It was then that I heard footsteps echoing through the bay and noticed more men in jumpsuits heading directly for me. I had the distinct impression they weren't there to help me. They weren't there to help me find what I was looking for. I threw my hands up. Everything's cool. I just need some mattresses. Could you maybe bring some out to the storefront? The men spread out into a semicircle surrounding me, periodically chirping. You know what? I actually think I saw some out front earlier. I'll just go double check. Two of the men pushed their shoulders together, blocking my escape. The entire group closed in on me, huddled in a tight circle. Guys, come on. I've got a customer waiting. One of them grabbed my collar from behind. I pulled away. What the hell? As I spun to face him, someone else grabbed my arm. I wrestled it free. Seriously, cut it out. They kept moving forward. Now, I'd barely enough space to move. As the first man reached towards me, I grabbed him by the head and shoved him away. Get lost! Go away! The others stopped moving. The man stood motionless for a second, his head tilted away. Then, he slowly turned back towards me. A rubber mask sat askew on his head, and a giant mandible, the kind you'd see on an ant, was sticking out from his mouth. I froze in horror. The mandible wriggled back and forth, chirping rapidly. I spun around and tried to force my way through the crowd, but then they piled on top of me. All at once they reached out and grabbed my head, until all I could see was blackness. I woke up, strapped to a wheelchair. Mr. Johnson was sitting on a nearby table, like a teacher waiting to tell his students he was disappointed with their test results. Ah, you're awake. Hope your head doesn't sting too badly. I'd heard the boys were a bit rough on you. Chirp. I noticed the dull throb on the back of my skull. What the hell is going on? I'm sorry about all of this, Danny. I really, chirp, am. I'd have preferred you stay out of this whole mess. I raised my voice. You better let me out of this chair, or I'll... Or you'll what? Said a whiny, familiar voice. My supervisor walked into my field of vision, staring at me with contempt. When I tried and failed to lunge at him, he smirked. Mr. Johnson put up his hands. Easy, easy. We're all friends here. Nobody has to get hurt. I started queasing. I looked up at my supervisor, then Mr. Johnson. What the hell is going on? Why am I strapped to this chair? And what the hell is wrong with the guy's mouth? Mr. Johnson sighed. Danny, let me ask you something. Have you ever wondered how we can afford to sell our mattresses so cheap? What does that have to do with anything? It'll all become clear in a second. Didn't it ever strike you as odd that there are 4 mattress stores for every 10 people in this city? I hesitated. Isn't it peculiar that so many could stay in business? I don't care. Just let me out of this chair. Mr. Johnson gestured towards my supervisor. I felt a kick, hard enough to bang my head against the headboard. Then they wheeled me through the warehouse. Men in jumpsuits drove forklifts around and loaded pallets, occasionally chirping as they worked. I recognized some of them from earlier. We stopped alongside 2 men making a long incision in a mattress. Mr. Johnson motioned towards the men as if to say, "Watch this." Something scuttled around behind my chair, close to the floor. It scurried over the top of my feet, towards the mattress. I tensed up. It was something like a millipede, only 5 foot long and thicker than my damn thigh. I thrashed around and yelped like a 10-year-old girl. My supervisor chuckled. The thing crawled into the mattress, then wriggled his way through the narrow slit. I was panting now. I don't understand. You will. We continued to the warehouse. You see, Danny, Mr. Johnson said, my species are what you might call a parasite, at least in a larvae state, and we rely on human hosts to incubate our young. I looked at him, astonished. Your species? Mr. Johnson turned towards my supervisor. Show him. My supervisor stopped pushing the chair and walked in front of me. There, he grabbed a handful of skin and pulled his face up. His entire skull was actually a rubber mask, beneath which sat a black, hairy insect head with long mandibles and bulbous green eyes. I shrieked, trying to rock myself out of the chair. He leaned in close and clicked his mandibles together, releasing a constant chirping. Cold, foul-smelling liquid leaked from his long mouth and into my lap. I turned away and pressed my eyelids together. This isn't happening. This isn't happening. My supervisor laughed, then pulled his mask down, adjusting it until his face looked normal. Mr. Johnson put a hand on my shoulder. As you can imagine, humans are squeamish about playing host to a parasite, so we have to be careful. If humans actually knew they were incubators, he thought for a moment, well, there's no telling what they'd do. That presented us with a problem. We had to figure out how to implant our eggs without the humans realizing. So we hatched the plan, Danny. A genius way to sneak into the homes of every last man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Can you guess how we did it? By now, the millipede thing had disappeared inside the mattress. The men in front of us sealed it up and loaded it onto a pallet. Then they got to work on a second. Mattresses. Mr. Johnson nodded. That's why there are so many mattress stores, Danny. That's why we can sell them so cheap. Making money was never our goal. Across the globe, countless stores are packing up our females and distributing them to unsuspecting humans. In the continental United States alone, we have 4,000 stores selling 8 million mattresses every year. It's an ingenious system. After the humans fall asleep, the females slip their ovipositor tube through the mattress and implant the eggs. The tube administers a numbing gel that helps the humans get the best night's sleep of their life. The eggs get a surrogate. The female can stay close to monitor the development. And, if we're lucky, the unsuspecting human recommends our mattresses to their friends, perpetuating the cycle. We came to a stop in front of a glass wall that stretched from the floor to the ceiling. Behind the glass stood a naked man. It must have been a two-way mirror because he didn't react to us. My supervisor parked my chair, then pushed buttons on a wall panel. The eggs can incubate indefinitely, Mr. Johnson continued. They won't hatch until subjected to a specific high-pitched frequency. Behind the glass, that sound must have started playing through a speaker, because the man pushed both his hands against his ears. A moment later, bumps rose and fell beneath his skin. I felt the blood pumping in the soles of my feet. My supervisor disappeared behind my chair. We're playing the long game here, Danny. We've already implanted our young into 36% of your species. As we speak, millions of them are lying in bed, perhaps browsing social media on their phones or laptops, separated from us by just a few inches of fabric. A hole tore open in the man's skin as it grew up ate its way out of him. It was fat and ribbed and stained in the man's blood. More holes opened up in his head and his chest and his arms. The grubs swarmed all over him, covering him like a pattern of spots, biting off chunks of flesh. I could only watch in horror. Clutching my right bicep with his enormous hand, Mr. Johnson kneeled beside me. But there's still work left to do. And that's where you come in. See, we're already in the final stretch, and we need to get as many humans implanted as possible before we execute the trigger. We need salesmen, Danny. Good salesmen. I'm making you an offer. Join us, sell our mattresses, help us accomplish our mission. In exchange, I'll spare you from... He gestured towards the window, with the man screamed silently. I took a deep breath trying to maintain composure. This is insane. Chirp. What's it going to be, Danny? I laughed hysterically. What's it going to be? How about this? Go screw yourself. He sighed. I'm sorry it had to be this way. He nodded past my shoulder. A moment later, my supervisor wandered back into view, carrying one of the horrible millipede monsters in his arms. He petted its head, then extended it towards me. I gasped. Okay, okay, I'll sell. Just don't put those damn eggs in me. I looked up at Mr. Johnson, tears in my eyes. Please, I'll do anything. The thing scurried into my lap. I felt its weight against my thighs and tensed up. It lifted the front third of its body and looked at me. It opened its mouth. Then a white tube drooped over its chin. Slowly, the tube extended like a deflated balloon taken in air. Mr. Johnson folded his arms behind my back. Here's what's going to happen. This female will lay her eggs inside of you. The toxins will give you a good night's sleep. Then you'll wake up tomorrow morning in your own bed, feeling calm and well rested. The sting went in. The puncture was painless, almost pleasant. The thing contracted, forcing the eggs from her body into mine. Monday morning, you're going to turn up as per usual and sell, sell, sell. If you act like everything is normal and don't breathe a word about this to anyone, I'll remove the eggs before my species execute the trigger. I promise. Refuse, and... well... He gestured towards the window, where the man had become a human apple core. First thing I do when I get out of here is going straight to the damn police, I growled. My supervisor threw his head back and laughed. The police. We own the police. I felt rhythmic pulsations going into my stomach and bit my bottom lip. Then I'll go to a doctor and get these things extracted. I'll put them on display for the whole world to see. He slapped me gently. Oh, sure. Doctor, help me. I've got bugs growing inside of me and I need to get them cut out. You'll spend the next 6 months in a padded cell knowing the trigger could come at any second. Then I'll do it myself. I'll post it on Facebook or... Mr. Johnson put a hand on my supervisor's shoulder and pulled him back. Then he smiled at me sympathetically. Look, I'm sorry, Danny, but humanity has already lost. Soon the bedbugs will inherit the earth. This was decided long ago, but it's not too late to get on the winning team. My eyelids became heavy as my head drooped towards my chest. He patted me on the back. Just think about it, okay? The last thing I remember is the unsettling chirps fading into the distance.